League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? I know we're doing pretty good.
It's going down, baby.
I think there are some people feeling pretty darn good after the occurrences of last night. Thank you, Bay Area, for not only laying down for the Astros, 2-0. But then taking the fannikins for the Rockets.
I told y'all the Rockets would win.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. Yeah,
told you
that's
guys.
Not documented at all.
I told you guys. Yeah. I was just like, watch, they're going to win.
I know how that prime rib tastes that Saltgrass brought us.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how inaccuracy tastes. You want to shed some light?
You don't?
No.
You don't know how that tastes at all?
Mm-mm.
Who was your pick in game three?
I didn't give a pick.
Oh, that's right. No, you didn't
pick
the right. No, you did. That's also documented.
Nope.
We can go back to the podcast.
We don't need to do that.
Yeah, man. You must be, I tell you, God's honest truth, I woke my wife up screaming at the TV.
Watching the game? Oh, yeah. You're in trouble.
So excited. I know people think I hate the Rockets because I just give an honest opinion.
Yep.
Not true. Super excited, though, as a fan. But, you know, I got to admit, I couldn't barely listen to the game last night.
Because of the announcers?
The announcers were horrible.
On TNT or what?
Yeah. Weber and Reggie Miller.
Not a fan? Oh, Reggie Miller's been getting heat all series, probably all playoffs.
Yeah, and rightfully so. It was just not good for them last night.
They are Warrior fluffers. They do like to fluff them some Warriors.
Well, no, my big beef with them wasn't even the fact that they were fluffing the Warriors. It was the fact that they were like, you know, everyone questioned this team's heart. Everyone questioned James Harden's leadership. Yeah, they lost by 41. What other outcome could you draw from that game? Then he quit. They look like they quit in that game. What other conclusion would you draw? Oh, they've got the heart of a champion going out there and getting their ass stomped by 41. No! Don't act like those of us in the media that said, hey man, this team looks like it quit. They could be in trouble. Don't act like we didn't have a reason to say that. I get it. They came out and proved themselves wrong. That's the other thing that pisses me off. Why does it take a 41-point ass whooping to get James Harden refocused? Shouldn't he be focused every game? If he played as best as he could play like he did last night and game two, it'd be great. But he takes games off and then gets embarrassed, and then that's his motivation. Just like the year after he lost to Steph Curry, the MVP, he played horrible defense. That was the Kardashian year.
Yep.
And it took a highlight reel of his defense making fun of him
on
to motivate
media.
Him to play defense. I just get so mad. I'm like, bro, you could be one of the best players on the planet every night.
But Barry, the thing, though. He didn't play a complete game.
He played pretty damn well.
But the fourth quarter.
Well, listen, there's other professional players on the other side of that team that can take him away, too.
I'm going to tell you this. This is why you got Chris Paul in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Chris Paul grabbed the bull by the horns, and he took that game by the throat and just said, I am not going to let go of this thing last night.
Thank God
for it. Dwight Howard could not do those kind of things. This is when you know you got the right co-pilot with James Harden, because James was on fire in the first half. James led them after Gordon got him going.
I was
going
to say, Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon got him going.
A lot of credit
James Harden picked it up from there, had a 20-some point first half, and then when they needed it the most, Chris Paul grabbed the bull by the horns and said, we ain't letting this one get away.
Yeah, so three guys matched what the Warriors were. And boy, I tell you what, after that start, what were they down?
13-0.
12-0?
Yep.
I thought, man, this is not good. It's not that they can't come back because they're going to have to make shots and... I tweeted it out, but when you look at the quarter breakdown, was it 19 points in the first quarter by the Rockets, 18 points in the second quarter by the Warriors, 17 points in the third quarter by the Rockets, 12 points
yep.
in the fourth quarter. Absolutely amazing. This weirdness of they were either on or not.
Yeah.
So weird.
But at least especially we finally for a had Golden a close State game.
Team. I mean, you're used to the Rockets being hot and cold, but I'm not used to the Warriors putting up 34 in the quarter and then 12.
Let me tell you something. Last night was was the answer to everybody who anointed this team one of the greatest of all time. They're human.
Yep.
Because they completely capsized last night.
They look bad.
Bad on both ends of the floor.
And credit the Rockets defense too, though.
No question about it. Rockets fourth quarter defense was great. Give Harden some credit on defense too.
Yeah.
Because late in that first half,
Those steals on Durant.
Yep, he picked Durant twice. He did a lot of good things. So not that I'm trying to bang on James because I know that's been the theme
all day. I wore my Harden shirt.
Yeah, Granato and Lance were kind of knee-deep in that this morning, banging on James. Look, the bottom line in my book, and look, you guys know what our picks were, but I think that they have the advantage in the series now. It's just they have to make sure they take care of their business. But to go and get home court back, to go and do it after, like you said, getting pummeled by 41, and now to have two of the last three if it goes seven on your home floor, hey, advantage Rockets.
Yep.
No question about it. So, Nick, you got to be giddy.
Yeah, I mean, because it's basically a reset button, and I almost feel like if they do lose this opportunity and they don't seal the deal, they're going to even get even more criticism for not taking advantage of the playing field, because it's basically a reset button for the series. You're coming back at home. You know, if you win this next game, you've got a lot of confidence and momentum on your side. You should be able to carry that over. So,
and not only have you beat one of the best teams in the last 3 or 4 years, twice now in four games. That says a lot about this team. But the other two games, you just took the night off. I mean, I go back to, imagine if James Harden played as well as he's capable of and was motivated every night. Just imagine that.
I always said,
it drives me insane.
I said it the other day too. We know they're capable. Are they consistently capable?
Yep.
And that's been the biggest issue for the Rockets is their consistency in terms of playing at that high level all the time, throughout the season, all the time. And, yeah, they're a deep team, so there were times like, you know, Eric Gordon is getting a lot of grief. Eric Gordon got a lot of grief in November. He basically took that month off, and the Rockets did really well in that November. He of course, came out of that slump and started shooting his way back into rhythm, but – You got to be capable all the time. I still would like to see more from Ariza, and perhaps a little blame is to be, you know, sent to Harden and Paul for not setting them up as much as they could.
Well, he had that one big three from that skip pass across the lane
the bowling ball pass.
But the thing about Ariza, I felt like he wasn't looking to score. He was so locked in on defense and trying to guard Durant that I really felt like
Ariza won the game for him.
Yeah.
He stopped Klay Thompson on the last possession.
He boxed
him in and smothered
him. He almost won the game because with that half second left, then Chris Paul misses the first free throw, makes the second.
Right.
Golden State, that shot by Curry, he took worse shots
during the game. I don't think he got it off in
But time. He had worse looks that he took during the game than that last shot.
I'm going to tell you who we haven't mentioned yet.
They got lucky. They dodged a bullet there. But
we haven't mentioned yet is Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Because Mike D'Antoni got wise enough to say, you know what? We've tried you, Lukumba Mute. We've tried you a little bit, Ryan Anderson. We're done. We're shortening the rotation. We're going with the guys that the stage isn't too big, the lights aren't too bright, and they're going to give me something that I know I can trust. Now, one of those guys he trusted, thank God he played defense, because Gerald Green's shot selection,
oh my God,
he could have shot them out of it.
Yeah, he had some bad shots, but boy, he played some great defense. And I've knocked him on his defense and that he's a liability. He didn't look like that. And I mean, you look up and down, everybody that played, I mean, with Tucker and Capella pulling down 29 rebounds, the way Ariza guarded Durant and the last shot of the game, Gordon was scoring early when they needed it, getting to the bucket. You know, Green playing some defense, getting some steals, had that big turnover. You really felt the momentum shift because he forced the turnover and then got pulled out of the game right after it. But that's really when that momentum, you could feel it slipping away from the Warriors right there.
He got pulled because of the shot selection. Because otherwise, his hustle and his defense was pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, another thing, and I'm not knocking the Rockets on this, but you kind of caught a break with Curry with three fouls. Also occurred at the same time that Klay Thompson hurt his knee or ankle and went out. There was a long stretch where they were able to claw back in it in that second quarter where both of those guys were on the bench. That helps. Don't discount that fact. Their two best outside shooters,
and
their two best perimeter shooters were out.
With Iguodala not playing, the Warriors, missing the Warriors' rotation was screwed up.
You were down to two-fifths of the death lineup.
Yeah, and in the fourth quarter, the ISOs...
I refuse to say Hampton's five anymore.
I agree. And the ISOs...
It's just everybody's piled on it.
Normally, that James got last night on Bell and on Looney, he would have had Iguodala on him.
Yeah.
So who cares? I mean, you can say all you want about catching the breaks.
That's just breaking down the game.
You take
Nobody's
care of
nitpicking.
Business. Care of the business.
I'm just breaking down what I saw. I'm not trying to nitpick on anything.
So we got plenty to get to. It is a Way Back Wednesday. Today, we're letting you try and guess the theme. We're going to put together our list. Nick, I'm sure, will publish them on Twitter once he submits his. And we'll continue to go.
Barry hasn't submitted his, sir.
I don't have mine done either.
So you're both disqualified. I'm the winner. Okay. It doesn't matter. Let's play on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call. You can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're looking forward to having some fun on a Way Back Wednesday with a 2-2 series heading back to H-Town. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Just getting started on a Way Back Wednesday. Nick, hour number one. We'll go from there. You guys guess it if you can. No prizes awarded, but, you know, suspects like to play along. We'll publish our list at some point, too.
I mean, after the first song, you might think favorite artist, right?
Oh, yeah, because the first song that I played
was Tupac. But after the second song, you might think worst song choices.
Lifestyle. Barry's trying to help you out, guys.
Yeah, like worst song choices ever could be the theme.
Hero?
Now I'm just saying, really, of all the songs for this topic, that's what you came up with?
I was stuck between this one and Rhapsody, and then Joel was like, We Will Rock You is probably their biggest song ever.
We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions are probably the two biggest songs in the history, I would say, of Queen.
Go ahead and start crapping all over my list. The poll's going to tell us everything.
Yeah, I got your poll.
That's what you say at certain clubs and certain establishments in Houston. You say the same thing.
I got your poll right here.
Yeah, I know. You're probably still swallowing it.
Oh, God, I'm still swallowing it, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people still swallowing it after last night.
I hate you so much. Did you guys do anything, like, yesterday? Anything fun or interesting happened? I know we usually start off with our...
Yeah, we got a little into Rockets in the
first segment. Segment one, but... Hey, it was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Big game.
Yeah. Absolutely. My only thing I did is after the game, I stayed up playing video games and
'cause you're an idiot.
I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning.
I saw you tweeting.
God of War again?
God of War. Yeah.
Watching like half hour in-game videos.
I'm so angry at that stupid ass game. Why are these game dorks? These game nerds that do all this stuff, they feel like they've got... I just want to punch people in the face and kill people. That's all I want to do. I don't need this whole story. At one point, here's the thing about God of War that I don't like, is you fight the same guy for like an hour. It's like, I don't want to do that. Stop. Like, I'm literally fighting this guy, and this is his big thing. He goes, I can feel again. What? I just want to hit him with my axe. That's all I want. I just want to axe his face, just axe him, and then move on. But I got to fight this guy for 45 minutes, and then his mom shows up, and she's a big giant statue screaming, "Don't hurt my baby!" What is going on? I know this is the stupidest game I've ever played.
It sounds that way.
This is a first. He's just bitching about a video game.
Yeah. Because,
Joel and I cannot relate to you. No, right
because
now,
I spent 45 minutes, still not done fighting this dumbass guy.
Well, how does that work?
You just giant put, stone mom.
You can pause it in the middle
can't
of the fight?
Can't you just ask him a question?
I knew.
I just want to ask this guy. I want to ask him a question.
When the words came out of my mouth, I thought he's going to make an ask you a question joke. I knew it. I should have said something else. Oh, that almost went out.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure did.
Springer almost with a dinger. This has gone on before, though. Like, I've already fought this guy once. He won't die. I fought him at the beginning of the game for 30 minutes. I'm just like, I can't take this anymore. I got to go to some, like, Far Cry or something where I just shoot people and keep moving. This is just, it's
That's
insane.
Why there's been a surge of all these older video game systems. Like, they're making a comeback.
Yeah.
A lot of people are buying Super Pac-Man. Nintendos.
But when you said you had to watch a video for 30 minutes within the game?
Yes. I had to.
You can't fast forward through that?
No, it's these cutscenes, and they're trying to be all dramatic. And, like, I don't care. I honestly don't care. If we just jumped from one point to the next where I had to fight people and it just changed up, that would be fine with me. I don't need the story. I'm not that guy.
Has the video game world steered away from, like, cheat codes? Could you, like, potentially put a cheat code?
I don't know, actually. I never
was Google that.
I never used cheat codes to begin with. But I just, people are getting into this. They're trying to be more cinematic with their games and make it more, like you're watching a story in a movie. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm not playing these video games because I think it's a movie. I'm just trying to get away from everything else that's going bad in my life, and I just want to win. I don't want to lose, and I don't want it to take forever. It's like sex. I just want to, let's just get this over with. Okay, maybe that's just
That's
me.
Bad, yeah. All right. I was like, where are you getting that?
My rant is over with. Boy, that pissed me off, though, but I'm going to be playing tonight again when I get home.
Do you wear the headset, the full headset, and the microphone and everything?
No, because I don't play online.
Oh.
I have...
You have a gaming chair?
No, I just play on the couch. But I have headphones because we have a surround sound system. Like, we have speakers in
the
ceiling.
So you can Bluetooth it so you don't disturb.
Yeah, because we have this big subwoofer, and then I have, like, six speakers in the ceiling. So it gets really loud in the house. Like, the whole house will shake.
Yeah, Nora...
Playing this game. Like, she ain't having that at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I got to put on the
Transformers are coming and ripping up the farm.
Yeah, so I got to put in the headphones. But that, other than that, I mean, I don't play online. So there's no way.
If you're mad right now, playing against the computer.
Oh, you're
can you imagine online. If he was playing against somebody?
No. Yeah. Last night, at one point, I was trying to beat this stupid Valkyrie, and I spent 45 minutes on this stupid flying hoe couldn't beat, and I was so mad. You ever seen the scene in Boys in the Hood? When Trey comes home to the house and he's with that chick and he's punching the air and freaking out.
Yeah.
That was me when I couldn't beat the Valkyrie last night. I threw my headphones, I threw a pillow, and then I punched the air for about 20 seconds just to get the aggression out.
You got cameras in your house?
Oh, I was so pissed. No, just on the outside.
That's a shame.
Like, I wanted to put one on the inside.
Because that video Nick would have used over and over.
I wanted to put one in the living room.
From the ESPN account, the SB Nation Radio account.
I was going to put one in the living room. My wife was like, that's creepy. I was like, why is that creepy? If someone breaks into our house, I've got the whole perimeter. Like, you can't go into a window or a door in my house without being on camera. So I've got that covered. But if they happen to, at least when they get inside, I
got them.
Yeah. She's like, no, that's creepy. I'm like, what are you doing when I'm not here? What's going on that you're like, are you like selling weed out of the house and I don't know about it? What the hell's going on when I'm not here? So yeah, no, we don't have any indoor cameras. I tried. Yeah. I put one in the guest bedroom. She didn't like that. I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
I wanted one in our bedroom. I thought that would have been kind of
superstitiously
cool.
I ran again last night because I ran before game two.
Oh,
and
you
it
did.
Worked out. So I went for a run last night, and because of the rain, it was actually very nice. It was pleasant outside.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I was able to crank out a little over 4 miles.
Boy, was it raining cats and dogs by the time I got. I was like 5 minutes away and couldn't see 5 inches in front of me. Like, it was just that bad.
On the way home?
Yeah.
Last night, yeah. It was. It got after it again.
Maybe that just.
It might have been on just my side.
Yeah, on your
side,
because I don't think on my side we got anything like that.
I got a lot.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I was just going to say, Ojefe had a question that a couple people asked me on Twitter last night as well, and I thought about it. So he said, I was having this conversation with my brother. If you're CP3, don't you miss that free throw so that time expires by the time Golden State Warriors get the ball and call a timeout? It doesn't matter now because they got the W. So I think we're on opposite ends of this. You said yes.
Yep.
I say no, you don't miss the free throw. What do you say?
I say you make the free throw.
You make the second one? Because obviously after it becomes a question because he missed the first one. So now they're up two with one free throw and 0.5 seconds left.
Yep.
So if you heard D'Antoni's explanation, because they asked him about that in the post game.
But it wasn't really an explanation. He was all over the map.
Yeah, he was like, well, you know, if you got to trust him and you got to make it. But basically one of the points he made was if you miss everything, they get the ball past half court.
Right, if you miss everything.
With a half second to go. So that's a risk as well, right? Like you try to like just throw it up, and maybe if you miss that. The other problem is in a half a second, depending on how they get the rebound and get a shot up, if it goes in, you lose.
Right.
So if you miss on purpose and don't get the rebound, but if you make it, you can't lose. No matter what happens.
Oh, you still could. You get fouled.
No, they're not fouling anybody on
that. And
the refs aren't going to do that. If you make that free throw and go up by three, you're going to overtime, worst case scenario. The refs aren't going to allow that game to be decided on a ticky-tack foul at the three-point line.
Devil's advocate, I absolutely missed the second one because of the fact that there was only a half second, and because in most cases like that, Chris Paul's a guy, just shoot it like a regular free throw, just shoot it to get it slightly off to the left or right, and then there's going to be a scramble for the ball, and as long as someone gets a hand on the ball, chances are the clock's going to expire before they get a chance to call the timeout, because you have to secure the ball, have possession clearly, and then call timeout, and then you don't have that. Because of the fact that if there was a couple seconds left on the clock, then obviously you don't. But as it was, I still think Curry's shot was late.
Oh, do you?
Even if it would have went in.
Okay.
Yeah. And some of the videos I've seen, it was real tight to be still stuck to his fingers when the red light came on. So we'll see. You know, we can, if anybody else has got a definitive shot on that, let us know. But we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to talk Rockets, we're available. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text. Hit us on Twitter. We also got plenty to get to in terms of the Astros. Lots of Astros playing right now as well. A day game that just got underway as they wrap up a two-game series with the Giants and they get back on the road. Join us. We're here for you. Three-hour extravaganza. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on top.
It's tricky. Right. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
R.I.P. DMC, if you're Nick Sciarra.
Jam Master Jay.
I get it. Still people living. As we continue to roll on with the Wayback Wednesday, Nick, hour number one, as we let you try and guess the theme, and we will put our lists out there as well, but keep it all in the family, as you guys, the usual suspects, like to partake in the usual Wayback Wednesday. So we've been talking a little bit about the Rockets and bouncing back and forth. I just think the ironic thing to me is how many people were already bashing this team, saying the team was phony, that they didn't live up to expectations. And it's just depending on the game. After game one, they were done. After game two, they were going to win the series. After game three, they quit. After game four,
I mean, is it bashing, though, or is it based off of what you
observed?
Oh, no,
there were a lot of calls on some of the other shows and stuff like that. That like, and when I take Taylor to school, I hear John and Lance, too. There were people calling in just saying, what a big imposter James Harden's been, and even Mike D'Antoni, and just ripping them to shreds. And it's like,
but what do you expect based off of the way they've performed?
But Barry, what I'm saying is overall, it's like the ultimate roller coaster. It's like from game to game, you can go from putting this team on a pedestal and giving them hardware to like wanting to kick them in the nuts and press the reset button and get a whole new team.
Whose fault is that? It's not the fans. It's not the media. It's not the observers that are making
temper those. Your emotions.
It's the Rockets' fault
but
for doing
temper
that.
Your
you don't
emotions.
Go out and get beat by 41 and expect people to be like, I love my Rockets. They're the best. No problems.
Okay.
I mean, am I wrong?
I'm saying temper your emotions because this team won 65 games for a reason.
Well, it's sports. I mean, you're supposed to be passionate, right?
I feel like the imposter part, like the James Harden imposter part, I mean, there's probably still a lot of fans that will call him that even after a W.
Oh,
and I think they've been calling
him
an imposter for probably two. There's a lot of people that have used that word against James Harden.
But
a lot of people, some people can't stand the way he plays. They don't even like to watch him. Some people I've heard people say that. So.
But isn't that part of being a fan though? And I'm not trying to, I'm just saying like as a fan, think about when you root for the Packers. When things are going well, you're really excited and high on them. But when things are going bad.
I'm not ready to dump out though.
Well, nobody's saying they're not going to root for the Rockets.
I'm not dumping out on Aaron Rodgers, or I'm not dumping
well,
out
it's Aaron
on
Rodgers,
players.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't
I'm not
play
dumping on Davante Adams either. I'm not dumping out on players. I mean, that's the thing I'm
you
saying.
Get down.
You temper your emotions. No, you take the loss. You take it as a game. If your season's over, yeah, I get it. There's a little bit more intensity to it, but your season's not over, and you've evened the series, and every other game you've stepped up and played pretty well. It's crazy how intense the emotions get.
It's the 40-point loss that really sparked
things
up.
But game one, everybody
sure.
thought it might be a sweep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were mentioning it on this show.
It was discussed.
They said it might be a sweep.
After game one?
Yeah.
We said either in game two they're going to make it too, a series
Barry
or they're going to fold their tents and go home. Yeah.
Did you see anything that would have led you to believe otherwise?
I mean, for me, I wasn't ready to say that because I picked them to win the series, but it just depends on how you look at it. Look, and the point I was trying to make is that before there's people that just do not like James Harden and maybe perhaps a lot of them are outside the city of Houston and maybe some of them exist right here in the city of Houston, but that's one consistent or semi-consistent criticism of James Harden. He's a phony, he's a fake, he's an imposter. I don't think that he is, but a lot of people have said that before and after wins and losses. So, I mean, that's just, I mean.
You think so?
There's people that have said that, yeah.
Here's what I've said, because I got a lot of that on Twitter, a lot of the bashing, and then a lot of people asking why that they feel like the national media is so against the Rockets. And I said, but the big thing is you can't fault James Harden for mastering the system. James Harden is as efficient a scorer and is going to probably go down from a legendary standpoint of being one of the best scorers in this era's basketball simply because he's mastered it. He knows how to draw the fouls. He knows how to get to the line. But around the league and around the country, people hate it because they hate the fact that he has mastered how to draw the foul with the hand down, man down three. They hate the fact that first it was the Euro step and then they tried to call traveling on him. Now it was trying to call traveling on the step back because that was his move that was killing everybody. But the fact of the matter is most people hate him because he's so damn good at being able to
manipulate
the system to his advantage.
Yep. I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, the first two series, like especially with the Jazz series, the Utah beat writers absolutely hated
James Harden.
James Harden.
Well, feelings mutual. Everybody hates Utah.
No
Unless
question.
You live in
That's
Utah,
right. That's
everyone
very true.
Hates Utah.
But very, yeah. very true.
Harden's going to get a lot of criticism like that.
I wish we could sell Utah to Canada. Just get, we'll swap you for Toronto.
And here's the thing. I've told you guys this. When I was with the Rockets and every team that came into town, I would ask them, you know, who's your most hated enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you hate the most? Give me a top five. And who's your most hated player? James and Blake Griffin, depending on each team you talk to, were the two most hated players in the league. Griffin, because he whines about everything, and James, because he manipulates the system. And then because of it, the Rockets were always in the top five of the discussions, because also in the mix at that point was Dwight Howard, who everybody thought was a pretender, who acted like it, wanted to be treated like an all-star, thought he was an all-star, tried to look like an all-star, but at the end of the day, when it came time to put up as an all-star, he disappeared. So there's a lot of reasons behind it, but you can't fault the guy. Because his numbers speak for itself. We've said it over and over on the show over the last 4 years. Hard to find anybody better in terms of his raw numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you, 2 out of 3 years, you're either second or the MVP. You're second in the MVP voting. Yep. And then in the fourth year, you're winning it. It's hard to argue with it. I mean, and you see when he wants to. That's my only frustration with James Harden is his lack of consistency. The fact that he has to be motivated by something that makes him look bad. He has to be embarrassed to be motivated. You know who doesn't have to do that? Guys like LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. They didn't have to have a 41-point loss or a video of all their defensive lapses to make them motivated to want to play as well as they can play. Those guys never had to do that. That's the frustrating part. James Harden could be mentioned with those guys. I feel like it because you saw his defense last night. He played the best defense
Shows
of anybody
want
on
to,
that team.
If there's want to, he can.
And he can play the low in the low block. He can defend in the low block against a big man.
Yes.
He can get a steal. He can, I mean, let's not forget the dunk on Draymond Green. right.
Yeah.
We got to get to that. But that's the that's why I'm so frustrated with James Harden.
But you can't deny the fact he disappeared in the fourth quarter, too. And you know what? The first critical one was, and this was difficult because there was a lot of people critical saying that, you know, this was James, this was whatever they call it, elimination James. But he passed up that wide open three early when he did the move and broke Steph's ankles and got all, and he sat there on the butt naked on 3-point line and then passed it cross court to PJ Tucker. And everybody's like, oh God, it's the San Antonio game six all over again. But people forget, first half was where he was at his best. First half, he scored, 21, 24 points?
Yeah.
So he was rolling.
And
in
he
the
disappeared
first half.
In the sense that he wasn't hitting shots at critical times.
Yeah, he
but
missed a lot of shots in
the
fourth
last 4 minutes, he was still taking the shots. So it wasn't like he was.
That one, though, that he passed
scared.
Up. That one that he passed the, up, I was like, oh, that's a bad sign.
It's a
Why?
Bad look.
Well,
sure.
And I wonder, this is what I thought when he did it. Okay, that's scary that he would try to pass up an open three like that. But is he overcompensating for the ISO ball criticism and just trying to get everybody else involved?
It was a thought.
I mean, it's just a thought.
We'll
I'm not saying
it was
or not.
I was going to say, or it could be an excuse. But the thing is, that's what he got into in terms of excuses in game six when he didn't shoot for the first quarter and a half.
Yeah.
And people were critical. But if you're going to be successful, he has to be A or B at all times. He and Chris Paul. And like I said, thankfully, where he disappeared a little bit, or what? I'll be nice. Instead of disappearing, he came down to earth a little bit in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul stepped up. That's why you have those two guys, because they can feed off of each other. And because you have two guys with those skill sets, they can get you through a game.
I was going to say, he took four shots in the fourth quarter. So not a ton. By
he missed
any
them
stretch.
All?
No, he had one.
He had one drive to the basket,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, three three-pointers and one drive to the basket. I don't know. All I can say is, as a fan, it's frustrating to watch. As a media guy, as a sports talk radio guy, it kind of I tweeted last night. At least tomorrow is going to be fun, because you know what? When he plays and the Rockets do what they did, they're capable of beating anybody. But when they that's what is frustrating and weird to me. They can win by 23 and lose by 41. Which team is going to show up? That's the scary part. You don't know which Rocket team is going to show up night in
it's
and night
true.
Out.
True, and that's what causes that drastic swing in emotions.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't blame the fans necessarily.
I'm not
the teams.
Blaming the fans, but I'm just saying it's just crazy that you can't temper the emotions a little bit just so you know, hey, unless you're in an elimination game, it's not the end of the world. And as good as that win was last night, you got a big game in less than 48 hours that could, again, change the narrative completely. If Golden State comes in and wins game five, now all of a sudden it's all the Rockets are done again, and you start forgetting all the good that they've achieved throughout this series because they are playing a team that's as good as the Warriors. And look, when you guys mentioned it, when you talk about the Thompson injury, when you talk about Iguodala being out, Warriors are banged up too. Rockets are in pretty good shape. That's yep. why, to me, just like Paul in the fourth quarter, it seems like the Rockets have the advantage. They've grabbed the bull by the horns in the series. It's now theirs to lose as opposed to trying to catch the Warriors and stay in the series.
They have to win.
They have to.
Oh,
because
if they win
the Warriors
five, yeah.
will totally capitalize on
if,
that momentum
if they,
shift.
Game five, we talked about, was game three or game four a must win? Is game one a must win? At this point right now, game five is a must win.
Yeah. But period. that was one of two reasons.
I completely agree. Yeah.
One of two reasons why I picked them to win was, A, I expected Ariza and Gordon to perform in the postseason, and B, and other players that really haven't been
role
there.
Role players that, yeah. Didn't okay. see the floor
and
last
then
night.
B was I really believe that this injury was something that the Warriors not necessarily were trying to cover up, but trying to make it seem like it wasn't as bad. I didn't think Curry would come out and have a good game at all. I felt like he was still
third
struggling.
Quarter was ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, I saw a great tweet where it was like, game one, Curry's hurt. Game two, quarters one and two, Curry's hurt. Game quarter three, Curry's not hurt. Quarter four, he's hurt. Game three, you know,
yeah,
like it's
I saw
just
that tweet.
What's he going to be? Is he hurt or is he not hurt? How about the fact that he's just not having a great series? That works for me, too. I mean, he's being as inconsistent as James is to this point.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
We got some texts too. I know I hear the music, so I'll read some of y'all's texts when we get back as well.
Patrick, OU Mike, get to you guys as well. Appreciate the participation in hour number one. You guys can join too, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Make me want to start bang banging, so I'm caught up in the game. Dress code change, pack a 40 glass to change.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Knee deep in hour number one of the three-hour show. We call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Nick, hour number one of a way back Wednesday in which he shows his love and admiration for Freddie Mercury. As we continue to roll on with You Guess It, we're playing it.
So you have to guess the theme, right?
Right.
So Harrison Lee said, so far, based on hour one, is it songs 40-year-old white guys go crazy when they hear? So there's that. And I will say that tons of people on the text line have already guessed it. When do we want to reveal it?
We can reveal it anytime. Does it really matter?
The songs are in.
Wow. Chris Householder said, is it murdered people? Close.
Close enough.
Yeah. J-Dog wants to know, where can I get a cheap ticket for tomorrow, bro? I have no idea. A
cheap ticket?
Yeah.
There's all these apps these days that... Try it. Download two or three apps if you're willing to take the time, and then kind of.
They don't pay for advertising, so we're not going to plug them.
Yeah.
What?
I got an answer too, and I'm not going to say it. Up.
No.
No.
Why? Help
I'll tell you in the
out.
Break. Okay. I'll tell you in the break.
Yesterday's games were the most I've ever seen the Rockets having balls in quite some time. Harden showed balls surprisingly. Now they're acting like the Astros run when they had balls. I guess that person just wanted to say balls.
That's
a lot.
All that person wanted to
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Yesterday made me proud being a Rockets fan. I would agree with that. The guys calling you idiots for doubting the Rockets deep down had the same feelings. I still have the same feeling after game one and game three as the Rocket fan. As a Rockets fan, I'm done with the Rocket truthers. Worse than Trump truthers. Send them to an island and nuke it. Wow.
Jeez.
Barry, I'm sorry, but after listening to your rants, it sounds like your problem might be that you kind of suck.
Jeez.
At video games. I think that was the theme. I don't know. Unless you're just telling me I suck, in which case you can kiss my ass. But if you're saying I suck at the video game, that's probably true. That would probably be accurate. A couple more texts, and then we'll get to the calls. Is way back Wednesday pre-2000 or 90? It's 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, and then there's the guesses for
Chris
stars.
Paul is a stud.
Yeah.
I just, last night, solidified it for a lot of people. But to me...
His leadership
yeah. all year. And the fact that even when he had things that he probably wanted to voice, he kept them internal. Even like what we were talking about with the huddle and the whole thing with him and Harden, the way he found a delicate balance with a guy that has to make sure it's his franchise, but yet delicately had him step to the side a little bit, being the beard, so that he could take over last night in the fourth quarter, to at least take over control of the ball.
Yeah.
Huge.
Let's get some calls out of the way. You guys have been holding a while. Oh, look who's first.
Your guy.
Oh, you Mike wants to talk Rockets. Oh, you Mike, what's up, man?
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. But really, who's the better baseball player, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Okay, all that aside, the Rockets with that win last night proved that they're as good as the Golden State Warriors. And this has been a roller coaster ride up and down, like Joel said. You hate them 1 minute, and you're like, oh, they just quit. And then all of a sudden, you're like, damn. But, yeah, they proved it last night. They can hang with these guys. That's all I got.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Good job, Mike.
I didn't understand the baseball reference.
So LeBron has that commercial for Sprite where he plays baseball.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Patrick wants to talk Rockets as well. Patrick, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, I want to say that I will admit the Rockets are surprising me a little bit. I before the series, I picked Golden State in five. Maybe that was just being a little disrespectful, but I didn't see the Rockets having the firepower or the grit that I've seen over the series. But there are some things that I've been watching that are concerning me, and I get it, the series is tied, but I think that if the Rockets continue to do this, they might shoot themselves in the foot. And the first thing is, Capella has to stop guarding Steph. I think it's getting in his head. He feels a little bit too responsible for what happens, and it's definitely tiring him out. I mean, you can see him getting winded, and he looks confused, and they're abusing that. And then two, I'm really worried about Iguodala being out, and when he comes back, I think that Golden State having to rely on, what is his name, Dooley, and then the other rookie, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
That's something that I think might have helped.
Looney and Bell.
The Rockets last night. So, I mean, I'll hang up and listen, but the last thing I was going to say is Chris Paul, I think, is getting the benefit of the doubt, because I think he's doing a lot of the things that Draymond does to get cheese, and he doesn't get a technical. So.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good observation. Good, yeah, he good did point. Get in Draymond's face. If that would have been reversed,
Draymond
would have walked up to Chris Paul and done that and pointed, because you could see Chris Paul go, "What did you say?
Say it again.
If that's Draymond, he's getting teed up.
Yep.
So you're right in that regard. It's not fair. As far as the switch, Capella switching and guarding Steph Curry, that's not changing.
That's what Golden State wants to do.
But that's not changing. This is the style of defense that is pretty prevalent across the board in the NBA. I mean, teams switch now. That's what they do. So I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Just like the Rockets' ammo is, get the switch to get Curry on Harden
or
Paul. The Warriors' ammo is, get the switch to either get James on one of their guys or get the bigger, slower Capella on Steph or KD. They want that matchup.
Yeah. And I still like Capella in that matchup. And not that he's not going to get taken to the rack, but he's proven – and especially in the playoffs, he's proven that even if he's beaten by his man from behind, he can still get the block.
He
and he'll let guys get past him, because it's easier to get the block from behind sometimes than it is to try to get in front of him, where you're probably going to get called for a blocking foul, as opposed to as they go by, you get the ball when it leaves their hand or in their hand. So
I mean, Looney and Jordan Bell have done the same thing. They've recovered from behind. But at the same time, look, each team is looking for their matchups, and they're going to try and exploit them, and they're going to continue to do that. So Capella's going to be on watch, Harden's going to be on watch, and Curry's going to be on watch.
Somebody said, was that dumbass Patrick? I don't know, was it? Was that the Patrick?
No, it's not the same guy.
Oh, Gary wants to talk Rockets as well. Gary, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just want to let you know that I listen every day. I got one of them jobs where I get to hear every one of you guys all day, and I'm not going to mention any other shows. But it's really nice to listen to some guys that sound like they're happy that the Rockets won. It's a tough series, but you guys sound like you're happy that the Rockets won instead of the opposite, like some of the other guys. So it's good to hear.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thanks, man.
Yeah, Joel's faking it. But
I was going to say, some of us are. Joel hates the Rockets. But Nick and I...
Why do I always have to deal with this
Nick
crap
and I grew
guys?
Up as... I mean, myself. I've been a Rockets fan. I just said
I did the same thing I did before game two last night to guarantee that at least to hopefully give them the
That's just
the,
your cover story. That's
win.
Just your cover story.
Go play video
like,
games.
I go back
go
to
play
world.
With yourself or play video
I've
games.
Been watching the Rockets this world be free. I mean, like, yeah, that's, you know, H time till I die. Joel, on the other hand, hates them. Just hates them. So much.
I hate you.
All right, let's get USA Mike in before we go to break. USA Mike wants to talk Rockets.
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Joel, got 2 points. First one is I want to ask Joel, do you think the Chuckster is happy that Draymond got dunked on the way that he did? Because it was all over SportsCenter. They just kept replaying it. And number two, man, I kind of, as I was looking at it, I know I'm not going to open up the book about the Harden criticism again, but the same criticism can be given to disengaged Durant. I just wanted to see what y'all think, because I think he disappeared in the second half as well.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he's right. There were moments when you forgot Kevin Durant was playing or on the floor.
Third quarter, when Curry's going on that run, he was... He could have been in section 104. He could have been on the bench. He was on the weak side of the floor, and you watched him. He wasn't moving. He wasn't clapping for his guys. He was just kind of like, oh, well, I guess they're not going through me right now.
Much like James Harden, Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter, 5 shots. Harden had 4. Durant had 5. He missed 3 three-pointers. had a shot inside the three-point line and made a mid-range jumper in the fourth quarter. The guy that's been carrying them in their wins.
But here's the thing.
In the fourth quarter. In
the way
12
that
point
he's
quarter,
been carrying them and the numbers he's been putting up, do you realize what it's done? It's taken Golden State out of their offense and gone ISO. Because what they were doing, instead of all the ball movement off the ball and all the guys that were doing backdoor cuts, everybody stood around and just watched them dump the ball into Durant or give it to him on the wing. And it took them out of the offense that they've used all year.
Yep.
To answer your question, Mike, on Charles, absolutely, he's happy.
Oh, of course. I think he said something like, I didn't hear specifically, but I know you laughed and said something about a poster or something. So,
I'll say this.
Thrilled.
We had the audio, didn't use it the other day. We just never got to it. But the funny thing was, when they had Durant on after game three, they said, is it easy or hard for you to play with a guy that annoying every day all the time? And Durant said, he's right downstairs. Why don't you go down and ask him? And I thought that was great.
You know, what made you happier? The Harden dunk on Draymond Green or Draymond Green getting hung on the rim himself and missing that dunk?
That's a toss-up for me.
Man, that was embarrassing missing the dunk, though.
Missing the dunk. At that time in the game, when they could have stopped the run of the Rockets and really put themselves in a better position, that was big. And he really choked that off.
Yeah, he did.
Nick, so you guys ready to... I like the dunk more.
Okay.
You guys ready to join the Rockets bandwagon now or no?
We've been on
I'm still Warriors in six. But
you're not changing
like
your picks
yet? Nope. Like I always say, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm still
Unless
Warriors in six.
Unless my pick is dead,
see,
I'm sticking
unlike
with my
you,
pick.
Nick, I have to use facts and analytics and thought to pick a series.
You process those analytics?
Yeah, to pick a series as opposed to just, I love ketchup and mustard. Like, no.
Well, these two guys picked the Warriors. Jerk. I better pick the Rockets.
I figured I'd pick on you guys at least once an hour.
Oh, you should. You totally should.
Yeah.
So. I knew it was coming, too. I almost tweeted you or texted you last night and went, I don't want to hear bleep from you tomorrow.
He'd have been drunk by then.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. I passed out in the half.
Attaboy. Hour number one, gone. 2 hours still to go. Big show.
Hey, on the other side, can we talk national anthem rules in the NFL?
Cool.
We've got lots of that stuff to get
to. And vote
Astros,
for
Athy
Producer
anthems.
Nick on the way back Wednesday.
Blah, 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 blah.
Vote for me, Athy Producer
blah,
Nick.
Blah,
tweeted it out blah, from ESPN. 97.5.
Hey, blah, just blah. Start handing out your yard signs during the break. We'll be back with hour number two. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Let me get my girl to rock that
before I left. I hit the book party. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.